I didn't even know you were going to do that today.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You're surprising me.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to surprise you now.
Is there going to be a test?
Yep. There's going to be a test. Yep. Going to be a test. There's going to be a test. When I was in school, that was a question all the time. Everyone wanted to know, is there going to be a test? Is there going to be a test? How many tests are there going to be? Is the final cumulative? Do we have to know all of it? Professor's giving a lecture. Is this going to be on the test? Do we have to know this? You know, or can we just take our naps now? You know, how is this all going to work? And how all of that would go? And I was one of those problem students that everybody hated. I loved tests. I took them as a personal challenge. Let me see how well I can do on this test. Now, it was only appropriate for certain subjects. Spanish was not one of those subjects. Algebra was not one of those subjects. But you get me into math, and you get me, not math, that history. History, science, things like that. I was very, very excited about those opportunities, those possibilities. When I was in school, Dr. Southall was known. He had these classes called experimental design. He was known for the way he would construct a test. All right, and he had tests quite a lot. And the nice thing about his tests were that when he handed the test out with the results, this is before computers. Believe it or not, you could do school without a computer. You did. And so before a computer, and he would hand out, and that whole class period, you could challenge him if you got a question wrong on the test. If you had a question wrong on the test and you thought that you were right, you could raise your hand and say, Dr. Southall, I think that you made a mistake in marking my answer wrong over here in C7. And he'd, well, Mr. Brammer, what did you put? And you would say down what you put. And he'd go, well, then what did you put in section B22? And so then you would say what you put in B22. He goes, well, it's the same principle. Clearly you're wrong. But occasionally you could make a case. And if your case was convincing enough, he would say, I'll give you half credit. And if you were really good at it, you could get full credit. And if you were really bad at it, not only did you lose that section, you lost B22, because he'd say, well, you were just guessing on that. He goes, I'm not here to train riverboat gamblers. You get that wrong. Now you just lost the point you were trying to argue for. It could be hard sometimes taking tests with this man, but I took it as a, you know. I still, to this day, remember his final exam. One question. Now, some of you have been to school, you know. Remember those blue books you had? You had to fill out the blue books, and you'd have three or four books?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah? All right. This was his one question. Describe the processes used when reading a handwritten message written in green ink on blue paper. There you go. That's 60% of your grade.
Say it again.
Describe the processes used when reading a handwritten message written in green ink on blue paper. You're just like, because now all of a sudden you have cones involved and rods involved, because cones help you discern color and rods help you discern shapes, and you got to talk about how the potassium levels and the synapses going off and the neurons going off, and you just go, I got an A. Woo! Mostly because I just continued to write, and I think he just got tired of reading everything. I'm talking about tests because Moses is trying to prepare the people for a test. A lot of times, you know, we like to make jokes how, oh, there's going to be a final exam before we get into heaven. And I don't think that that's the way that this is going to work. I think what Moses is trying to let the people know is that that's why he's giving this lecture. For 30 chapters he's been trying to tell the people, but he sums it up with these six verses. Be obedient. Listen to the law. It's not a burden. It's a gift. It is going to help you survive. We've been off in the wilderness for 40 years, but now you're going to be mixing it up with some other people. And they have other little gods, and they have little idols, and you're going to be tempted to follow that way. Don't do it. Stay true to what you know. Stay solid with the one who loves you. Stay close to the one who will always care for you. Because sometimes, you know, you can get swayed and go off. And what Moses is saying, it was before cars, but a car is made for gasoline, right? Or gasoline is made for cars, right? A car is not going to run on water. It ain't going to run on grass. It's going to run on gasoline. And the same is for humans. We were created by God. We run best on God. Happiness, fulfillment, meaning, purpose, all of those things that we desperately seek, desperately want. And we try too many times to put other things in the tank, and it ain't going to get us there. It isn't going to help us achieve the goals that we want. It isn't going to give us the fulfillment that God wants us to have. We're never going to have meaning and purpose if we try to keep putting other things in our tank. It's kind of like the Dakota tribe. You know about the Dakota tribe? Up in Minnesota and all of that. And they had this wonderful tribal wisdom. What to do when you're riding a dead horse? What to do when you're riding a dead horse? The number one thing you do. Dismount. Get off it. Get off a dead horse. But what do we do? What do we do? This is what we do. We say, well, if we change riders, then maybe everything will work out okay. Or we say, well, we should find out what other people are doing when they're on a dead horse. Or it's cheaper to feed a dead horse. You know, and so we continue to stay on this dead horse, lamenting that we're not getting where we want to go, because, hello, we're on a dead horse. It isn't going to take us there. All these desires and all these things that come into our lives, you got to get off that. You got to let God come in your life. You got to fill your life with God. Get off the dead horse. It's like I told Lorraine I would never tell this story on her, but I'm going to. About 5 decades ago, she's out there looking for something out there in the parking lot. So it was dark, but it's the light, you know, right there by the office is hanging down. And I said, what are you doing? She goes, I lost my keys. Well, okay, I'll help you find them. And so I'm on my hands and knees. I'm on my hands and knees looking all over for these keys. And Lorraine, I can't see the keys anywhere. Are you sure this is where you dropped them? Are you sure this is where you lost them? She goes, no, I dropped the keys over there, but it's dark over there. The light's better here. That doesn't always work. Maybe we should start looking in another place. Maybe we should get off our dead horses. Maybe we should forget that about when we're getting ready, when God is wanting us to go into the promised land, God has given us guidance. He's given us a map. It's real simple. Listen to God and don't listen to anything else. Amen. That's how you're going to get there. We forget sometimes that God wants us to succeed. This isn't a test where God is trying to say, oh, you flunked, you're going to go to hell the rest of your life. No. God wants us to succeed. He has created us. He's given us a promised land that isn't over in Israel. It's a promised land that's right before our very feet. And the whole purpose of this is so that we will know about God's love for us. Whole purpose is for us to know about God's grace for us. And the other thing is, we're called to be the infection. You know how they've got that virus going out there. We're called to be a Christian in virus that goes out into the world. Do you see what's going on in our country? And what's going on in other countries? And we keep huddling up and being quiet and being fearful and shaking our heads and lamenting how everything's falling apart. And God is saying, you're the contagion. It's not going to change if you don't go out there and change it. You are the ones who are called to share messages of hope, share message of healing, that hate and fear are not what I created you for. I created you to be able to be my people. I created you to share my promises. I created you so that the whole world might know I love them.
Amen.
I love them, and I love all of them.
Amen.
I love all of them, every person, every plant, every single person. Is my child.
Yes.
I am calling you to love them. I am calling you to go across into that land where there's hatred and there's fear and there's these other gods and everybody's all worried. No! You've got nothing to worry about. You've got God. And you've got God's assurances and God's promises that God is with you. That's the whole message of Jesus. Jesus is with us. Jesus is on our side. Jesus is our study buddy. All right? And when we're faced with a test, because it's not a final exam, every single day we are tested. Every single day we have an opportunity to choose life. Choose blessings. Leave the cursing and the hate for someone else. We're going to be the ones that give the voices of hope, that give the voices of love. We're going to be the ones that share light at times when there's darkness. We are living in a time, people, when we need to be able to let people know that what they're hearing on TV and what they're seeing before their eyes is not the promises of God.
Amen.
We share with people the message of hope. We have the words.
Yes.
Right here. God chooses to give us life. God chooses to give us blessings. He's laid them out before us. He's saying, here it is. Take it. I want you to have it. God has given us grace. Grace. That free, unmerited favor of God that allows us to go forth into the world, not because we're perfect, not because we're right, but because we are loved.
Amen.
And we are God's messengers of love. Amen. And we can't share love if we're clenched tight in fear. And we can't share love if we're trying to condemn or hate other people. We can't share love anytime we allow hardness to infect our heart. We can only share God's love when we're open, receptive, and allowing God's Spirit to flow through us. God is calling us to cross the boundary, cross the wilderness, come into the promised land that God's created to share words of hope, healing, love, and grace. Amen.
Amen.